Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
I'd be sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's a Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Dave with us on Tuesdays. And Dave, anything new down there in your state regarding reopening or rules or anything that might prohibit play?
For Collegeville, no, not really. Everything's kind of still, you know, what it just has been. Football team started fall, they'll be starting fall camp. Coming up this week, so they'll be on the field getting ready for the season. After the SEC announcing they'll be playing 10 conference games now, so that's good news. As far as high school, Bill, I know you and I talked about that. They pushed everything to August 24th now, so not a big change there. And you know, I got kind of in relation to some big news Florida got last night, and I know Tennessee fans kind of interested there. Kamar Wilcoxon, who was committed to Tennessee after being committed twice to Florida and then flipped back to Florida after committing to Tennessee, he says he's going to reclassify for 2020, and he'll be on campus in a couple weeks. He'll finish, be able to get his credits in high school and be able to hit campus for the Gators. And he brings up a good point, Bill. And as I said, you know, high school delaying their season, at least starting to get on the field August 24th. And he's like, he doesn't even know for sure if there's going to be a high school football season in a college football season too, for that matter. But he says if there's not a season either way, he'd rather go ahead and be on his college campus so he can get developed, learn the playbook, learn behind, you know, Marco Wilson and Kyer Elam, as much as he can. That's some pretty big news for Florida's 2021 class. A kid that we thought would be in this class will reclassify and now be in the 2020 class and hit campus pretty soon. So no one expects him to be in major. He said he can learn behind those guys and maybe play in those four games coming up this season there. So, you know, it's pretty interesting the way we can get into it too, Bill, the way some kids are reacting to it. You know, one 2021 guy reclassifying, and you know, you have some players out there, and Kadarius Toney and Jacob Copeland out there on social media, you know, engaging in opt-out talks on social media. So a lot of weird headlines to come along with this at the same time right now, Bill.
I saw you commenting on this. We were talking about it Monday on the show, how one of the considerations for having an SEC conference only schedule was if they allowed a plus one, which would be in your case Florida State, and they canceled all the other non-conference games legally because of the term force majeure, would be kind of hard to get over not paying those non-conference teams that you owe money to. So I saw you commenting on that, though.
Yeah, Bill, I have, and more than I thought, don't get me wrong, I get it. I hate the games are not being played too, but, you know, dealing with the question if we're even going to have a season, I thought a lot of fans would have been like, okay, at least we get these 10 games. We can, you know, looks like we'll have some semblance of football. We'll try to have some semblance of football in the fall. There was still a lot of pushback from, you know, Florida State side and Clemson, South Carolina, you know, from the SEC side, from the Florida and the South Carolina side of not playing those games. Fans love those games. And a lot of it looks on the surface, too, is, hey, if you can have Florida and Missouri you play, whether it be Florida traveling to Missouri, Missouri traveling to Florida, or Georgia traveling to Missouri, or however it works out, or throw Arkansas in that mix too, with, you know, Florida and Georgia, you know, two, you know, schools that are really, really far apart from each other. You know, does it make a lot of sense that those two teams can play, but two teams 70 miles apart from each other or 100 miles apart from each other can't play? It's a worthy argument on the surface if you look at it. Now, a lot of it has to do with the SEC knows their own testing protocols, and they say, hey, we are ingrained here in each other, and we know we have all followed the same testing protocols, so if something happens, we just, you know, it's on us as a conference. But, you know, a lot of fans love those games, and we've had, you know, Florida fans were excited to face Mike Norvell in his first season and, you know, continue the streak versus FSU and I get on the field for that. And Clemson, South Carolina, yeah, it hasn't been a game all too much, but that game's important for those. I think they've played since 1908 or something like that every year since then. So it is weird when you look at it kind of from far away, Bill, of, you know, distance playing the factor, and you can still play teams that are halfway across the country, but you can't play teams that are out there in your own state.
Gator Dave with us. We'll let you know how you can get all his information, his podcast, et cetera, here in just a couple of minutes. Has anybody at Florida or anybody in your state said much about what's going on in the Pac-12 with the players?
Probably the most vocal, Bill, would have been, and I'll keep it Gator-related here, Zach Carter, defensive lineman for the Gators. He, on Twitter, Sunday, he reposted that letter from the Pac-12 and kind of vocal about a lot of those issues there. And, you know, he wasn't saying anything about opting out or whatever. I think he basically just saying how he basically supports that, and then kind of got into it with some fans a little bit. You know, fans basically saying he's ungrateful for what he has and calling him out for, you know, just kind of basically sharing his opinion on that. And, you know, it basically after that, he kind of come out and said, you know, a lot of fans just don't care about the players. You know, and that's a lot of what the players are saying. You know, they just don't, a lot of players just see themselves as the workforce for college football, and nobody really cares about them. And, you know, a lot of fans were kind of making that known Sunday on Twitter, going back and forth with Zach Carter.
Right.
And so, like I said yesterday, Kadarius Toney and Jacob Copeland were having some social media conversations about possibly opting out, and I'm pretty sure that stems from a lot of the Pac-12 stuff as well. I don't know how serious they were. I think a lot of it, maybe it was Kadarius Toney who originally posted it. He goes, maybe thinking about opting out, and Jacob Copeland retweeted it and basically said, you know, maybe me too, help before football. He's a kid. I'm sure a lot of it may be to do with just the attention of it on the heels of what the Pac-12 players are deciding to do. But, Bill, it is an interesting aspect in the way of looking at it in retaliation to that. Will that give players in their own minds, should they sit down and think about, you know, seriously what they want to do this fall? You know, they'll be able to keep their scholarships if they don't play. How ingrained can they be in the team if they're not part of the team this fall? I think that's a legit question as well. But from the Florida side of it, there's been some, you know, retaliation, at least on the social media side of it, of making public some of their thoughts. And I don't think they're going to sit out. Or I think there may be some. I think a lot of players will have some, or a lot of teams will have some players that choose to sit out. Some of them is going to be because they're highly draft eligible and don't want to get hurt or like that, or end up getting COVID some point this fall and not be able to train for the NFL draft right after the season. So I think you may see some like that. But I think there's going to be more people who have an NFL future more so than the health side of it.
One other note here. You were talking on Twitter about the early signing period that has become popular for people to sign. I don't like the idea of it, but more people sign early than late now that is an opportunity they can take advantage of. It's a 72-hour period somewhere in mid-December on a Wednesday, starting on a Wednesday. And you wondered if they'd move it back. I don't think you move it at all. You just give them two opportunities. If you don't get what you need by December. By the way, we've got way more commits than we had this time last year when everything was normal. But I think what they'll do is just leave it in place, and if you don't want to sign, don't sign. Sign in February. But, Dave, your point, though, I think, about when do they get to visit, I don't know if that day's coming. I don't know if they will ever get to visit, officially, that is.
I don't think so either, Bill. And I do agree with you. I think you just keep it in December and let the players decide. I do think this will be a year where we don't see as many early if they come out pretty early and say, all right, there's just going to be no visits whatsoever this fall, then, yeah, I think you can see where they still may sign early. A good bit still may sign early. But if there's still a chance going all the way to February, maybe something changes and a lot of kids can start visiting in January, right before, you know, the February signing day. Maybe they even push February signing day back a month or a couple weeks, Bill, if they start allowing visits. I think if they start allowing visits and it's pushed back a little bit, I think you maybe push that February signing period back maybe a couple weeks or something like that. So it gives these teams a little more of a window to get some of these players in for a visit. But I agree with you, Bill. I don't think we'll see visits this fall. We'll see if what the attendance can be with fans. Now, if you start allowing 50% fans at stadiums or something like that, then I don't necessarily see the big risk in kids taking visits. At the same time, if you're going to allow, 40,000 people in the stands, but there's maybe more of a liability issue at that point when high school recruits start coming on. So more than likely, I don't think we'll see many visits this fall, if any at all. And I think they'll keep December and the February signing periods. And I just say if there's a chance at having visits either late in the winter or going into the new year, I think we may see more kids start making a February decision more so in December.
Tell everybody how they can get your podcast.
Everybody can get Gators Breakdown on news4jax.com/GatorsBreakdown or your favorite podcast platform out there. We'll talk about maybe some possible players opting out this week on the podcast. We're going to try and hold off a little bit, Bill, and see if the SEC will announce the schedule. We already know the 10 games that they're going to play, 10 conference games, and more than likely the 8 opponents that you were already going to play. But everybody's just kind of waiting to see which two will be added. So kind of going to hold off on the episode and see if we can pop that in the episode this week.
You know what? I was going to ask you about that with the teams that roll onto the schedule in the future. It's Bama and A&M, but we've been told that don't necessarily count on that being the way the decision is made. I'm not sure what they're going to do, but that's what everybody put out there, which means Florida would add Bama and A&M, which means Florida would get the rawest deal of everybody.
Yeah, and that's part of it, Bill. I don't think a lot of fans aren't disappointed if it would be Alabama and A&M because it's exciting football.
Right.
And you get that, but the big deal is Georgia would in turn get Arkansas and Mississippi State. that's where the Gator fans get a little bit of angst. It's like, hey, we don't mind playing Alabama and A&M, but Georgia gets Arkansas and Mississippi State at the same time. So that's where a lot of the schedule inequality comes up. And look, the schedule is always not equal for these teams in the SEC, but that's where a lot of the angst comes from, Bill. It's not that Florida had to play Alabama and A&M. It's just that some other teams out there get a better deal out of it all.
So Georgia is guaranteed 2-0 under that formula. And Florida is at best 1-1 under that formula.
Yeah, more than likely so. So that's where it comes from. So
I like that. That's good message board stuff, isn't it? That's awesome.
Oh man, Bill, Twitter and message boards have eaten that. And then some Alabama.com writer, I retweeted it yesterday, saying that he has heard Florida's coaching staff does not want Alabama on the
schedule. I saw that.
Yeah. I'm sure Saban wouldn't be happy playing Florida, Alabama, or Florida and Georgia out of the East either. So.
Have a good one, sir. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, Bill.
There you go. Gator Day. Bottom of the hour, Buckle will be with us. Charles Arbuckle over in Charlotte, North Carolina. Always good to have him here. And then a little bit later, Griff will be with us. Mike Griffith from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Dog Nation. He will be with us. We'll get the break here. Presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. It's still running slow here on 40 westbound, trying to get past 840 coming through this part of Wilson County. All from a stalled vehicle happened earlier there on 40 westbound, just west of 840. Nolensville Pike at Wheeler Avenue, that wreck is in its clearing stages, wrapping up that earlier crash at Maya Drive at Gallatin Pike there in Madison. Hey, for the last few years, hot chicken's really taken off here in the South. Princess Hot Chicken started all this hot chicken craze. Log on to princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck, you're on time traffic.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language like French, Spanish, or Russian, but thought it would be too difficult and time-consuming? Then go to Babbel.com and try it for free. Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday practical conversations that you will actually use. In 15 minutes a day, you'll be on your way to speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel uses a modern conversation-based technique that makes language engaging, fun, and memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then, sentences gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations about real-life topics. Babbel is created by language experts who use the space repetition method to help you learn quickly and remember what you learned. With Babbel, you can speak a new language. Babbel, language for life. Now try Babbel for free. Just go to Babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com, Babbel.com.
Today we decided to walk to school. At the corner, we waited to cross the street. The stoplight counted down. 15, 14,
41. 31? I mean, 13?
We took a left on Carroll Garden Street.
Garden Street?
Loud music was coming from a car. Danny's a smart kid, but he gets so distracted.
There were so many other sounds, I didn't know what to focus on.
Danny, Earth to Danny. Suddenly, he realized he forgot his homework again.
I left my homework on the table.
At the school steps, we hugged goodbye. I really hope he doesn't have another bad day at school today.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free online resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Get personalized recommendations, practical tips, daily access to experts, and more. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org. Brought to you by Understood and the Ad Council.
The Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I always thought you were such a nice, quiet young man.
Westbrook pulls up at the free throw line. Tied ball game.
Here's a kid with a mama's face.
Weekday afternoons at 4.
I'm in my car constantly late for appointments because I'm sitting here listening to you on the radio.
Here we go. We're going live right now.
I just want to tell you, I've been a long-time listener for 12, 13 years.
The Johnny Ballpark Frank Show on Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM. We have more Jeffs than you do. It's the Bill King Show.
Charles Arbuckle, bottom of the hour. On Twitter, at Billis King. Rod, a Buckeye in Texas. And this is, if you missed it, Josh, 614, Rob, they were pointing out, in Ohio, the new state mandate by the governor, Mike DeWine, idiot, Mike DeWine, is that every high school player, coach, assistant, administrator, trainer has to have a COVID-19 test 72 hours prior to each game. That's thousands of dollars a week. How many high schools have that kind of money? Virtually none. Rod brings up some good points. Regarding the Ohio testing mandate, wonder if the state of Ohio insurance would cover the cost. I doubt it. Also, you'd have to contact a testing company to do the testing for consistency. Small town Ohio town testing probably not going to get your results in 3 days or have the number of tests to test. Yeah, we're already hearing about delays, et cetera, from time to time. I mean, are you going to get for a high school not only the cost of all the tests, but in less than 72 hours, your paperwork that they say you must have for the game? You must bring that. Does everybody stand in a big line with a sheet of paper? And you go person to person, check their info. How does that work? Anybody thought that out? Jeff down in Fultondale, Bill, you're talking about the expense of the COVID test. Do you think doctors and medical professionals may be really promoting all these tests with dollar signs in their eyes in some cases? Well, it's happening at hospitals. We know that. There's stories everywhere about that. Now, again, does that mean every hospital? I don't know. But it's happening. There is an incentive to cook the books. We know that. And it's happening. They are cooking the books. Overstating the number of cases for financial purposes. That is happening. Period. Now, again, individual doctors, I don't know. I don't know if that's happening at individual doctors' offices as much as hospitals. That's a good question, though. Yeah, that's a very, very good question. Gary Joe Collins, Bill, Kentucky doesn't need the SEC conference's protection in football. We've already got the Death Star, Florida, and Georgia, the 73 Dolphins, whatever you want. Was it 73 or 72 Dolphins? That was the only undefeated team. 72 or 70? I don't remember. Well, I remember, but I don't. Was the year 72 or 70? Whatever. Well, I know what he means. I know exactly what he's referring to there. Every league has their favorites. Every league will not admit their favorites. For the SEC, it's Alabama football first, Kentucky basketball, but Alabama football first. For the Big 12, it's Texas, Texas football, but Texas as an entity, for sure. For the ACC, it's North Carolina basketball. It's not a football. Clemson is not. Now, they realize Clemson is carrying the league, and they love it. Just having a team carrying the league and winning natties is wonderful, right? I mean, but Clemson is not a lifetime ACC office darling for them. It's a very good place, and it's winning a lot of ball games. But the conspiracy is always about North Carolina. There. Big Ten office. You know what? Really, I mean, Buckeye football is the brand more so. But I don't know that the office is as skewed that way like, let's say, Birmingham is or Dallas-Fort Worth is. Same with the Pac-12. Now, again, the brand out there that must be good is Southern Cal football. And it hasn't really been since John Robinson in 78, 70, late 70s. Southern Cal football, other than Pete Carroll during that stretch, 04, 05, right in there, right? That stretch before they got in all the trouble and he bailed. Southern Cal football has not been what it ought to be for the last 40 years. Not consistently. It's had its moments. Oh, yeah. But I'm talking about a consistent run on things. It hasn't been. But, yes, that's the brand that must be. For your league to be at its best, that brand has to be at its best. Jim Wilco on Twitter says, howdy. I keep hearing people complaining for the Mighty Gators' possible SEC add-on games. Don't bother. Me and the Gators, I know, are psyched up for the Aggies and the Elephant. Bring it. If that is who the two teams are, we have not been acknowledged by the SEC on that. Those are the two teams that roll onto the schedule next. People are assuming that might be the math, the way to do it, but we don't know that. SEC has said basically, don't necessarily assume that's the way we do things. Might be, though. Yeah, might be. But no confirmation from the SEC office. Look, there is no way, if you're going to add two teams, you play eight and you're adding two more. There's no way to make it fair for everybody. And it was pointed out here on Twitter, and I saw it on my timeline. Yes, Football Guru says, Bill, Georgia plays Bama too, so that is a wash. You have Georgia and Bama play this year. That's going to be, that should be a hellacious game. 614 Rob, Bill, that emergency order for Ohio high school sports also says if one person tests positive, the sporting event is canceled. I saw that and I didn't mention it. Good point. So you've got 75, well, we don't know. The numbers vary on each roster, but let's say you got 50 players. Then you got another, again, it mentions coaches, trainers, and administrators. Coaches, trainers, administrators. So let's just say that's 70 people. Who knows? One of them tests positive. It could be a false positive. Doesn't matter. One of them tests positive. Game's canceled. I mean, absolutely amazing. Bottom of the hour break, and we got Buck. Buck is on deck. Can't wait to get him here. Charles Arbuckle is next. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Well, good morning. We're still looking at this big backup here on I-40 westbound, trying to get out of Wilson County. It's just bumper to bumper up through here on 40 westbound, again, here at 840, all from a stalled vehicle in this construction zone area. It really slowed it down earlier. So expect that delay coming out of Wilson County. Now, there's a wreck in Nolensville Pike at Wheeler Avenue. They've got it over to the right-hand side. Hey, in the last few years, hot chicken's really taken off in the South. Prince's Hot Chicken started all this hot chicken craze. Log on to princeshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
Are you looking for the ideal destination for family fun? A place with the best bowling, games, food and drink, and entertainment? Strike and Spare Family Entertainment is the answer. And with five centers in Middle Tennessee, there is a location near you. All open 7 days a week, including holidays. Visit their locations in Donaldson Plaza, Hermitage, and the Tusculum area. And enjoy an enhanced experience in Hendersonville at Circus World, including laser tag, roller skating, bumper cars, time freak, a laser maze, a virtual reality roller coaster, and an indoor bungee trampoline. Strike and Spare is expanding their Murfreesboro operations to the old Sears building in the Stones River Mall, with most of the attractions Hendersonville offers. Like them on Facebook for updates on the new Strike and Spare Murfreesboro. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are also the perfect place for your next gathering, from birthday parties to family reunions. For more information, visit strikeandspare.com. Remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Slim Chickens is known for our 100% all-natural chicken tenders and perfectly fried wings. But our new dry rub wings are where it's at. Available in two flavors, House Cayenne Ranch that blends cool with a kick of cayenne, or Classic Lemon Pepper that brings a tangy zest. Try them as a meal or party tray. But hurry, get them while you can. Whether you're dining in, driving through, or ordering online, Slim's has you covered.
With three locations in Murfreesboro, Mount Juliet, and Hendersonville, R&M Printing in Mount Juliet is reminding everyone to please give blood. By doing so, you may save the life of a child, surgery patient, or accident victim. So give blood. It's safe, it's simple, and it's needed. This message is courtesy of R&M Printing, located at 7803 Lebanon Road in Mount Juliet. Trust their 30 years of experience for all your printing needs. Company logos, hoodies, t-shirts, and more. Call R&M Printing at 615-453-5770 or visit them online at rmprinting.com.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this morning. Partly sunny with a chance of thunderstorms, high 83. Partly cloudy tonight, low 65. Mostly sunny tomorrow, high 83. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy, low 65. And Thursday, mostly sunny, high 89. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network with Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Bob Stein.
Sports Radio WNSR.
The best college football talk on the planet, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. The Bill King Show.
We'll get Buck in just a second here. Paragon SC says, Bill, as much as I despise them, I would list UCLA basketball as number two. In the name of recognition for the Pac-12. Yeah, now UCLA basketball is very distant as far as being an entity. But, yes, if you go historically, I guess the last year would be that 96 team that had the O'Bannon brothers on it. Was that 95, 96 right in there? Yeah, for UCLA, but... Anyway, Charles Arbuckle, who, speaking of that, played his football at UCLA. You all know that. Buck, I know you still have many tentacles connected back to the West Coast. What's going on out there with the players? What do you think's happening?
You know, I heard some rumblings about this a couple of weeks ago, and I just thought, you know, that could happen. Bill, I was a little concerned with this, not just at out west, but you saw the SEC kids talking about it, because the best laid plans of mice and men always seem to kind of include or not include the people that it's about. And I think that's where it is right now. I mean, you've got some players saying, hey, I'm not involved in that. And then there are quite a few that are saying, for the good of the conference, they want to have some, you know, they already have four-year scholarships in the Pac-12, which is a good thing. But they're also saying there's some other things that need to go to, you know, social and economic injustices. And, you know, you can read it all that's there. Yeah. But I think the biggest part that I saw was that it's more about, do you know how you can protect me in this COVID situation, especially when you're telling kids, don't come on campus, but you want us to play games. And I think that's the biggest piece that I saw with it. And, you know, quite honestly, I think the NBA is doing it the right way, where they have all those guys in one location. If you break the bubble or you leave, you don't get to come back in, or you get quarantined for a while. The only way I can think of them doing that is if they took over Disney, like the SEC possibly could do, because there's some close ties with the SEC being in the Disney footprint. And how could the Pac-12 or how could some of these other conferences simulate that supposed bubble where you all are in one location. I don't know if you can do it, but quite honestly, I think that's where the issue is for those players. How can you really and truly protect me? Because I listened to that SEC audio, and I was really impressed with the questions that those young men were asking. And they didn't get the answers to them, so they're not saying they're going to boycott, but they have to be thinking in the back of their mind, how are we going to be protected, and will we be covered if we have COVID-related issues 10, 15, 20 years from now? Because everybody always say, well, oh, you get a scholarship, you should be happy. You should be. You work your ass off, and you are blessed to get into that position. But once you leave or once you're gone, it's not, they don't really have much for you anymore in some instances. I've been fortunate to stay close to the program, but that doesn't always happen for guys, and especially if you have injuries. This is one of those injuries that we don't know, and we're even seeing now that some people are getting sick, and they can't quite shake it, you know, just from the time that they've had it. So I think that's what I'm interested to see, all these conferences, how they come together and how they continue to give them the information so they feel comfortable in getting on the field.
The guy that is behind this is a former UCLA player. And, Buck, I don't remember him. Do you know him?
I know him, but he was younger than me.
Okay.
But he has been involved. I know he was trying to get the players, the college players union started.
That's right.
He's helped Ed O'Bannon in his case. I mean, you know, he's been a prominent figure in going after the NCAA for players' rights. So, you know, he's always been involved in that way, shape, or form. But it's interesting to see now it's not just one school, it's multiple schools. They're also saying that some of their coaches are telling them they can't play or participate, or we're going to kick you off the team. So this thing could get, you know, it's going to be interesting to see where this goes. I don't know if the timing was the best for them, but I think they this is what they chose, and let's see how it goes. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what these next steps look like.
Charles Arbuckle played in the NFL too. What is the NFL policy on insurance? How long do they insure you after you're out, or do they at all?
Not really.
Not really. Yeah. I know that's been I know that's been a point of contention, but so you're saying
It has been for years, Bill, and I think now they have finally started to acquiesce more for those guys. You don't get insurance, but they're trying to put more money in your pension and some of the other things. Now, also, there are situations where they seem to have gone better for the folks that have ALS, some of the other things, but those families have had to fight for the disability rights of those too. So there's still some contentious things going on with the NFL, and it always is. I'm just saying, when you leave, your insurance is pretty much done. They don't cover you anymore. Now there are some things with the NFLPA and the retired players that they're doing to help guys that, you know, maybe need joint replacement or other things like that. So that's starting to get better. But when I came out in 95, you look around like, no health insurance. Okay, got to get a job. Or if you're self-employed, I got to make enough money to pay for these things that are going to be happening down the road. They're going to come. If you played any kind of sport, especially football, those things are going to come back to you a few years later.
Charles Arbuckle with us. Doug up in Connecticut. He's a Pennsylvania guy, but he works in college administration up in Connecticut. Says, ask Buck if he played against the late Ricky Dixon of Oklahoma, who just passed away. Did you play against him in either college or pro ball?
Yeah, I played in both, against him in both. I was a freshman against the Oklahoma team that was stacked with guys that I always talk about. One of my first college games was against Ricky Dixon, Brian Bosworth. They had two defensive ends. I can't tell you their names, but I couldn't block them worth crap. Outside linebackers. You know, Everybody talked about Bos, but I even told Keith Jackson this. I said, dude, and I can't remember their names to save my life, but I hit one of them, Bill, and I was like, I better get in the weight room a whole lot if this is how it's going to be every game. Jamel Holloway was on the other side. They have Keith Jackson. They beat us 38-3. They probably could have put 70 on us. You know, like Switzer used to say, hang half a hundred. That game taught us a lot about how to play. But Ricky Dixon, I always respected his game. He could play safety like no other guy at that time. He was fast, rangy, could hit you. You know, he wasn't very big. He wasn't a big guy, but he would come up and strike you. And played him in the pros as well when he was at Cincinnati, because Indianapolis always played the Bengals in preseason. So I don't know Ricky well. I'd always, you know, talk to him after games, and you know, I reached out to Keith Jackson even and said I was sad to hear that he had ALS, like a good buddy of mine, O.J. Brigance, did. So yeah, I had the fortune or misfortune of playing, depending on how we collided against each other. But I always liked battling against Ricky Dixon, and thoughts and prayers out to his family.
Yeah, he passed away recently of ALS. It's sad. Very, very sad news there. Yeah, so you line up, you hit a defensive end, and it's basically like hitting a 10-foot thick brick wall. You just, right. It's going nowhere.
Bill, you know how these kids are pushing F-150s?
Yeah.
I didn't push that F-150. That F-150 stayed there, and then it just threw me out the way and went to make the tackle. And then he looked, and he didn't talk a lot. He just looked at me like, man, if that's all you got. And I said, that's all I got right now. But I promise you, it's not going to be what I end up with. That game taught us how to get ready for Nebraska the next year, which we didn't win, and then the year after that we beat them. So, no, I mean, that Oklahoma team was stacked. They had talent, and they could come at you. And when Jamel Holloway was back there, he was like a magician. He couldn't see the football. And I was so impressed with that, because the crown on their field, Bill, when you look to the other side, you can only see the top half of guys. You know how fields are flat now?
Yeah.
Oklahoma made that crown so he can go downhill, and he's looking like, you don't know where the ball is, but I do. Boom. Down the field to Keith Jackson. And, I mean, they it was so impressive. It was bad because we got beat so bad, but I was like, oh, man, I know we got a lot of talent on this team. But we got to get better, and that's what we did those next few off seasons to start competing.
Well, a couple things. Jamel Holloway was so good that Troy Aikman transferred, okay? And Troy Aikman had the better future, right? I mean, the much better future as a pro quarterback. And I'm biased, Buck, because the 80s are very impressionable on me watching ball. But I don't think there's ever been a better triple-option quarterback than Jamel Holloway. Just my thing.
Bill, I'll tell you this. If anybody comes to me and says, I've seen the best triple option quarterback ever, I will have them watch YouTube. I will go get some video and show them Jamel Holloway. Yeah. And then they will say, ooh, man, you're right. He was special. You know, and the other thing, you know, and talking to those guys, because I had a couple guys from Willow Ridge that ended up going to Oklahoma. He was actually not a bad passer. They just didn't throw the ball a lot. Now, he wasn't going to be your typical pro, you know, drop back, but he had an uncanny ability to hide the ball. His ball skills are so good. And I always tell young quarterbacks, if you want to run zone read, go watch those old triple option quarterback guys. J.C. Watch, go watch, you know, Jamel Holloway in particular. Go watch those Texas and Oklahoma and Nebraska guys that, you know, Steve Taylor, who was a little bit after Jamel Holloway. Watch how they handle the ball. Tommy Frazier was really good, too. But I'm saying those guys, they would make defenses like it would be 10 guys over here, and then they're going on the other side, and they're running down the field until people realize 30 yards later they're in the end zone. That's how good they were.
I tell you what, Jim Donnan was the offensive coordinator back then.
Yes,
for Barry.
He was.
And I asked him, I said, when Troy went down with the injury and you had to go to Jamel Holloway and totally scrap the offense, he said they hadn't worked on any of that to date. It fit that naturally. Now, can you imagine that transition? And he said it went, Buck, he said it went seamless.
Let me tell you the other piece of that. He told me that story because Jim Donnan and I used to do Coach's Spotlight at ESPNU, four-hour shows that you had to be a rugged dude. You know,
right.
TV now, people talk about 2 hours, oh, I'm working so hard. We did a five-hour coach's show one time. Luganville, Donnan, and I looked at each other like, damn, this is like playing football. Anyway, Donnan says when they put him in, Jamel was proficient in that because he ran it at Manning. He knew how to do all of those things. He said, but the other part to that story is when Troy was looking to transfer, he really wanted to come out to UCLA. He liked it because his dad was in West Covina or had been in West Covina, and he had a familiarity with California from that perspective. So he calls Coach Donahue, and this according to Donovan, Donahue, well, we really don't take transfers. We like to get quarterbacks and get them through our system. And he said, Coach, you're going to be really sorry if you don't get this guy. He said, so fast forward 9 months later, they're at the coaches convention. Terry's in the back, Coach Donahue's in the back of the elevator. Donovan gets on and he says, hey, how did Aikman kid work out for you? And turns around and he said he died laughing because Donahue couldn't say anything. After all that talking about we don't take transfers, that worked out tremendously well for UCLA, and it worked out well for Oklahoma.
Incredible. Yeah, incredible. Buck, have a good one, sir. We'll see you next week.
All right, man. Y'all have a good one. Take care.
Thank you. Awesome conversation with Buck there, man. Man, is that fun? Griff will be with us about 20 minutes into hour number 3. So we got plenty of time to hang out here. Presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. We're still looking at this heavy traffic here trying to escape from Wilson County here on 40 westbound, passing 840. Again, it's extremely heavy this morning on 40 westbound. Again, leaving Wilson County, headed towards Hermitage. 200 block of Paragon Mills Road. That's a wreck involving some injuries. Wedgewood at 8th is blocking traffic in Belmont. With the fire department has a unit there blocking traffic as well. Bars Music City Soul Food is now open behind that Bank of America on Nolensville Pike at OHB. Log on to barsmusiccitysoulfood.com. I'm Commander Chuck, you're on time traffic.
George Plaster and Watson Brown to talk with you about a friend of ours, Jody Jones Dentistry. And Watson, we've both visited this beautiful new studio he has in the Music Row area. Man, it is spectacular.
It sure is. And I've known Jody George since he was a kid. His mom and dad, Doug and Lucy, are as good of friends as I have. It was an honor to coach Jody at Vanderbilt. And Jody was one of those tough guys, very smart, highly competitive, unbelievable work ethic. It does not surprise me that he's had a wonderful dentist practice as he does.
22 years worth, and it includes cosmetic dentistry, veneers, crowns, laser bleaching, and they have a hygiene department with microscope technology. If you want an appointment, you simply call them at 615-259-5100 or go on their website, jodyjonesdds.com.
This August, you could win $20,000.
$20,000.
Or even $200,000.
$200,000.
Introducing two new instant games with two ways to play.
Two ways to play.
And two ways to win.
Two ways to win.
Double match and double match bonus.
Double match and double match bonus.
Double the fun. Double the chances. Double the cash. Double match and double match bonus. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Get ready to get your game on with the Tennessee Lottery and fill up your day with fun. Like when you need to upgrade the fun on that road trip. When you could use a little Did I Just Win $50 fun.
Woo! Yeah!
Or when you like to add a side of fun to that next snack.
Wow, good.
Would you like some fun with that?
Well, yeah.
Then play the Tennessee Lottery. And for just a dollar or two, you can get your game on. Please remember, play responsibly.
Here's a smart suggestion.
Check out the new and improved WNSR.com.
You're going to have to explain that.
It's the new and improved WNSR.com. With everything a sports fan needs.
We got a whole new attitude.
All the scores. All the highlights. All the updates. All the stories. And even the new website smell from Nashville Sports Radio.
This is the most important religious event of our time.
You keep saying that, but you don't tell me how.
Log on to the new and improved WNSR.com. Hashtag fat side up, tweet to Bill at Bill is King to enter the arena of ideas.
Good to be back. Happy Tuesday. If you've already missed, what, the first 2 hours or so of the show, no worries. We'll get you caught up on everything. Big 12 apparently, allegedly, supposedly, reportedly, is going with a 9-game league schedule, which is what they've been doing. Only league that plays everybody anyways. And a plus one for a non-conference game. That is supposedly what they're doing. Makes sense. I mean, what decision? Did the Big 12 really have much of a decision to make? I mean, again, you already play everybody in your league. Been doing it. Been there, done that. We'll continue to do that. And they added one there. Again, according to what is being reported out there right now, which, again, makes complete sense as well. Here's another thought. Once we get past the regular season, because the thinking is, can you bubble up in football? Could you find a location? Because you've got to have class, too. Now, class could be virtually done. Could you take a team? Could you take, again, let's just take the SEC. Could you take the SEC? And, again, I hadn't even thought this out. I'm just saying, what if? Could you take the SEC and move every team, 14 teams, into hotels in Atlanta? Let's say you do two cities, Atlanta and Orlando. Well, but then again, if you have to stay, though. And I don't even know, could you do that? Because then you'd have crossover and you'd have to travel, and you're trying not to travel, right? You're trying to keep everybody in the bubble and doing your classes virtually. Again, I'm not saying this is doable. I'm just what-ifing here. I'm taking spaghetti. I'm throwing it against the wall. I'm seeing what sticks. Probably none of this will stick. But could you go into Atlanta and every team plays in the Georgia Dome? Man, you play one game after another. You start at 10 a.m., and maybe you do it over 2 days. Maybe you do it on a Friday, Saturday, or a Saturday. I don't know if you do it on a Sunday. Again, you're going to say, well, Bill, what about the Falcons? I understand the logistics. I'm just saying, what if? Could you do that in football? Let's say this year we get through the regular season. I'm not suggesting we will or won't. I'm just saying, what if? Once we get to the playoffs with four teams, you think they'd want to bubble them up? If we get that far. Now, again, I know we already have locations for the bowl games and the playoffs and all that, but maybe they say this year is odd. We're going to move the location promises for the playoffs back. We're going to find one location for the four teams. Let's just go with the chalk for sake of the conversation. Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama, and let's give it to Oklahoma. We're not going to give the Pac-12 anything. No. Just a random selection of chalk there. And we're going to take every team. We're going to put them in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And we're going to play in Jerry's World. We're going to bubble. Now, yeah, you could do that, couldn't you? We're talking about late December, early January, through the first week or two of January. You could do that. And I'm wondering how much of that is already being discussed. Again, now that's looking way down the road, and we've got day-to-day to deal with now. I understand that, but you still have to look down the road even if you don't get to it. You could pull that off, I would think. I don't know that you could pull that off of the league. I'm sure they're probably saying you couldn't. Particularly these leagues, I mean, 14 teams, et cetera. And again, you've got these crossover games and everything. It'd be hard. It'd be hard to keep everybody in a bubble. I think it would be logistically not possible because of the schedule. All the same teams that play each other won't be in the same bubble or the same city, whatever it might be. And if you go, well, so, but you got to leave the bubble. If you're in a hotel, let's say you're staying in the Omni in Atlanta. Now, the Omni is literally a couple of blocks away. Todd Rodermel and Adam Johnson could hit a tee shot from the Omni to Mercedes-Benz. But you have to leave the bubble to get there. You're not far. But is that logistically doable? Anyways, hour three coming up. Griff about 20 minutes in. We'll be back. Omni.